we're going to turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We're going to start reading at the first verse. Hebrews 12, verse 1. And we understand what the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we did a Bible study on that, and basically the 11th chapter of Hebrews is a lot, it's kind of like the catalog of heroes that Abraham, the different ones, Moses, the different ones that went through a series of obstacles, and by faith they overcame. Amen. Now, we're talking about the next chapter. It's kind of a continuation of that, in which it says, "Whereby, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," they said, "lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us,
and let us run
with patience
the race that is set before us.
The race that is set before us,
looking unto Jesus,
the author and finisher of our faith,
who for the joy that was set before him,
endured the cross,
despising the shame,
and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself.
Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We've talked about over the last several Sundays about a renewing of our minds. But he said you have to have a certain mindset in order to run the race, right? So I want to talk about the mindset of a winner. The mindset of a winner. What does it take to win? And what we have to take into consideration that every one of us, it doesn't matter what it is, various things we want to win. But ultimately what we want to win a crown over there on the other side. So a person that's lining up, I did a little track running when I was in high school and junior high. And I enjoyed running. I was pretty fast at that time. Not fast anymore, but I was fast, pretty fast in consideration at that particular time. And so it was something that was interesting to me. But here's what I want us to say. I did the little sprints and I ran, 100-yard, back then it was 100-yard dash and 200-yard dash and relays and all those kinds of things. But there is a particular race. Now, pray for us that I'll be able to share this the way the Lord wants it. There's a particular race where they put obstacles in the way, right? There's hurdles. And so whether it's 100-meter hurdles or 400-meter hurdles or steeplechase or all these things, what I want us to understand is there are obstacles, right? And they are deliberate obstacles, hurdles, things that we have to overcome, right? I think it's important for us to understand that because we're in a race. And the race is, if we're going to win the race, we have to find a way to overcome these hurdles. Every one of us are going to be, we're in a race. If you're saved, you're in a race. And there are going to be, at certain intervals in your experience, in your from here to getting to heaven, there are going to be some hurdles in your way. And if you don't overcome those hurdles, you're not going to make it. So there's a certain way to do it. If you have the technique right, you can come, you know how many steps are going to be between each one of the hurdles. We don't have that luxury, right? But we do know that when we see it there, there is a technique, there is a way for us to get over that and to go through it without us tripping up and falling down. And if we have practiced long enough, or we ask our coach, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, if we ask him, "Lord, how do I get through this? How do I get over it without tripping up and falling down? I need your help to do that." So we have to understand, number one, that if we're going to get through this trial, these problems, these issues that we are going to face, I want us to understand that, we are going to face them, but if we get through them, we're going to have to be willing to be coached. And what I mean by that is going to tell us, you can't do that right there. You're going to go through some situations where you're going to trip over a hurdle. I don't believe... You don't have to, but I believe the majority of us have been in situations where we've tripped up and we fell over a hurdle because we didn't go through it right and we didn't calculate it right. So here's the point. We got there, and one of the things that I'd like to say to us, if you're going to be in a sport, any kind of sport, this call, they have, you can major in sports psychology, right? So there's a certain way that a person that wins has to think. And if that person doesn't think like that, if you go up there and you think, oh man, I don't know if I can win a gold medal or not, chances are you're not going to win one. If you are coming into your Christian experience thinking that I'm not sure that I can make it all the way, I am not sure that I can win a gold crown, I'm not sure that I can really make it to heaven, you probably won't. All right? So there's a certain mindset of a winner. The first mindset is, you know, it might be a long shot for me hitting the gold medal, but I don't care if I'm the 10th fastest person, I am going to try. My goal is going to be to win a gold medal. I've heard about some sports. I believe it was on a speed skating one time. All the ones in first place, in second, third, fourth, all of them fell down. And the one that was like in last place just slid right across the finish line, won a gold medal. He knew he wasn't the one that was supposed to win. But if he had it in his mindset, I know I'm not going to win, he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have said it. He took his time. What did we say here in the scripture? It says, let us run with patience, right? He said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we have to have in our mind, I'm going to be patient. I am going to run with patience. And what does that mean? If you're going to be a marathoner, marathon is 26.5, I believe, miles that you're running. I don't have any idea why somebody would want to run that. But they do, and they're very good at what they do, right? But there's a different mindset of a person that is going to run a marathon than a person that's going to sprint 100 meters. In 10 seconds, that person, or less, or just a little bit more, depending on them in, 10 seconds, they're going to be to the finish line, right? But it's going to be hours, maybe 2 hours or more, or just a little less. I don't think anybody's broken the 2-hour record. One person, I think, has. But anyway, there's going to be around 2 hours that you're going to constantly be running. All right? So that means you're running roughly 13 miles an hour. That's pretty fast. And to be consistent for 2 hours. So here's what I want us to understand. That the Lord is going to take us through some things that we're going to have to realize. I'm going to have the winner's mindset. I'm going to have the thought process in my mind that this is going to take me some time. I am not going to get to heaven tomorrow that I know of. All right? I'm not going to get there next week that I know of. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? There is a long haul. I'm going to have to keep running. I'm going to have to face those obstacles. And when you're running a marathon, what do? There's uphill battles that you have to face. There's downhill that you have to go, and you got to pace yourself. There's curves that you got. There are different things that you have to do in order to maintain your speed. In order to keep going, and you got to have the right kind of mindset. You can't say, you know what, I'm going to stop here and I'm going to rest. We can't do that. Lord, help us. All right, so there's this certain mindset of a champion, and I want us, Lord, help us to have the mindset of a winner. A mindset of a person that says, you know what, I can win. I can make it to heaven. I can do what God wants me to do. I can overcome this hurdle. I can do that by the help and the grace of God, all right? So there are going to be temptations, there are going to be setbacks, disappointments, failures, trials, problems. These are hurdles. These are things that I have to overcome, and the Lord's going to tell us how to do it. You know what? Here's another thing. There are some times that you think, well, you know what? The reason I didn't win is because of somebody else, right? You know, nobody can keep you out of heaven. There's going to be nobody that can the only person that can keep you out of heaven is you yourself. That is the only person. And that's encouraging to me because that means that I am in control of whether or not I make it. I'm in control of that. Nobody else is. All right. So it says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I'm going to go back to those witnesses for a moment. Moses, we talked about Aaron, we talked about him too. Abraham, all of those people of faith, they overcame great obstacles in order to get through. All right? So it says, now look at those. And sometimes we need to look back and we need to look at what other people have gone through and how God has taken them through in order to encourage us, because it says, lest ye be wearied in your mind. If I get to the place that I grow weary of this, whatever it is that I'm going through, I grow weary of it and I don't want to go through this anymore. This is just, it's too much. It seems like life isn't fair. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that life's not fair? Why am I going through these problems and he's not going through them? Why is that? That's not the mindset of a champion. It's not the mindset of a winner. It does not matter. You know, it's an interesting thing. I heard about Serena Williams. Y'all know her, right? Serena Williams. Okay, so she's won the most Grand Slams in tennis and all that than anybody else. So she's won 23 Grand Slams, and she's been in 33 finals. So, which means that she lost 10 times in the finals. But you know what a coach said to her one time after she won several Grand Slams? But a coach said to her, you're an underachiever. And it made her mad. After she'd done all these things more than anybody else had done, he says, you're an underachiever. And she wouldn't speak to him for a space of time. And so he comes out there, comes to her and says, listen, you're going to have to, things are going to have to change here. In order for me to coach you, you're going to have the respect. If I tell you something, you're going to have to at least listen to it. Yeah. And so there are going to be some times that you're going to get told things that you don't want to hear. All right? But they're going to be true. Yeah. Some of them are going to be true. A good majority of them are going to be true. So he told her, this is before she got all of the grands. She had like 13, 14, 15 of them. And was one of the best tennis players in the world, in history. And he says, you're an underachiever. And so which means that he saw in her something that had something deeper that she could go. There is something deeper that she could reach down and she could win, do a greater amount of winning than what she was doing. Do you know what I look at it sometimes? I say, you know what? Here we are in as Christians. And the only thing that we don't feel like we can reach down and get, I mean, we pray for me. We seek after more money. And we go to our jobs and you know, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get into promotion, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Anything wrong with trying to get a promotion? No, if you're in the same position that you were in 20 years ago, and you're making no more money, there's probably something wrong with you, all right? You can at least make more money. You can have do something more. But we do that in the natural sense. We go from one smaller house to a bigger house, and we have all these ambitions when it comes to the natural thing. But when it comes to spiritual matters, we are not very ambitious people. We're underachievers. There's so much more that we could do and so much more that we could be, but we're underachieving. Well, Brother Daryl, you don't realize that I did this for the Lord, I did that. I don't care. God gives us the ability to do great and grand things. And our responsibility must be that our responsibility must be, the Lord, help me to reach the height of where you want me to be. Individually and collectively, help me to reach the height. But you know what? We have lowered the bar so low as far as Christendom is concerned that you can be a Christian without even being a Christian. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of folks. America is a Christian nation, isn't it? Do you think America is really a Christian nation? No, not in the true sense of what the Bible is talking about. So we've lowered this standard and we've lowered the bar so low that anybody can reach it. But most of us are not ambitious enough to go to the next spiritual level. We're satisfied here because I found out it's pretty easy here, but I can't be satisfied. I can't stop here. It's a race with patience. And Lord, yes, I'm happy where I am right now, but I don't want to be here next year. I don't want to be here next month. I don't want to be an underachiever. I want to be an achiever. I want to win. You know, one of the things is she said, I heard her say it one time, internet. She said she hates to lose. talking about Serena Williams. I hate to lose. And so all the ones that she's gotten, the trophies that she's gotten is second place. The 10 of those, she don't even consider those at all. Because what she looks at, second place is failure. Right? She hates to lose more than she likes to win. So there's this drive. There's this drive that is pushing her. And I think she's back in the tournament. Somebody told me that. I didn't hear it. But she's back in. But she's doing it for whatever reason she's doing it. But here's the point I want us to understand. Is that she hates to lose. The mindset of a winner. The mindset of a champion. I want you to hate to lose any trial that you go through, or you don't want any failures. I don't want that. I am not going to lose because God gives me the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't want to be on this level. I want to be on the next level. God help me to be willing to go to the next level. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm trying to get us to? I'm trying to motivate us. I'm trying to say, look, I need a different mindset sometimes. Sometimes I'm too satisfied with where I am. I'm talking to Daryl. Daryl is getting preached to just like you are. So I'm not just pointing my fingers at you. I've got several pointing back at me. Lord, help me not to be satisfied where I am. So here's some of the hurdles that come through. People do things to us. People don't do things. They should have done this, but they didn't do it. And so now I'm angry at them. That's a hurdle. Right? And so how am I going to overcome that hurdle? It is, I go to my coach. I say, that man, that woman, my brother, my sister, whoever it is, they made me angry and they made me upset because they failed to do this and they did this instead. And now I'm just having an issue. But here's the point. The Lord put those hurdles in place on purpose. That's part of the race. And if you're running a steeplechase or hurdles and you're the only one in your lane that has no hurdles, then that's not going to be fair, is it? It's not going to be fair. Why? Because everybody else has so many hurdles that they've got to overcome. They've got to jump over them. They've got to go through them, right? And you think that you're better than everybody else? You think that you should not have somebody that doesn't like you and somebody that said something that they shouldn't have said or somebody who didn't do something that they should have done? Oh, so you're Mr. Miss Special, right? No, we're not. Because part of the battle, part of the race is that we're going to have obstacles. We're going to have things that we're going, and you have to have that mindset going into the race. Instead of, well, you're going into the race, I thought everything was going to be really nice, and I was just trotting along, and then all of a sudden, this big old obstacle was in my way, and I didn't know what to do with it, and I just ran through it and fell flat on my face. But if you have in your mind, you say, you know what, there are going to be some problems. There are going to be some obstacles. There are going to be, I don't know how many hurdles around the track, but there are going to be so many hurdles that I have to go through. If you're in a steeplechase, there are going to be things I have to jump over, water I have to go through, all these kinds of things. There are going to be troubles. There are going to be obstacles. And I have to have the mindset that if I have those obstacles, I'm able to go through them with victory. I'm a champion. I'm a winner. I am not going to succumb to whatever it is. I'm not. Oh, so she's talking about me. She said something, she didn't do something, and now I'm all upset at her, and I'm focused on what she's doing, and the Lord says, it ain't all about her, it's about how you get through it. I put that hurdle up there for you to go through. I put that hurdle up there to see what you were going to do with it. Well, Lord, that's not fair. Life isn't fair. Let me tell you, there are going to be people that have far more hurdles to overcome than you do. This young man, 42 years old, with a heart problem, heart pumping at 16%. Your heart pumping at 16%? No. You got a good heart. And what, you twice his age? Lord have mercy. Life isn't fair. So, but it's an obstacle that he has to come through. He has to get over. Thank the Lord the brother talked to him and visited with him. And the Lord gave him the words to say. Sometimes our coaches are other people who talk sense into our heads. Because we think we have it all. We got it all figured out. We got it all figured out. It can't be any other way than this. How many times have we done that? How many times have we looked at things and it can't be any other way, and then we find out, oh, it wasn't even what you thought. Oh, you were upset at me because I said, oh no, let me tell you what happened. And when you understand what happened, then you understand that the Lord put that obstacle for you. That was your obstacle. Right? And that the Lord had a purpose in what he did and what he was doing in your life. And you misrepresented and misunderstood and know what other people were saying. That is not even what he meant at all. I've been in those kinds of places. Yeah, I know. The reason he looked over at me like that was because he was. Well, I let him know I don't care what he thinks. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. And you just you just ignore him because in your mind, in your head, something happened. And let me tell you what happened when that happened. You slowed down. You were running this race and you slowed down to deal with whatever issues you had in your mind because you wasn't the mindset of a winner. The mindset of a winner says, listen, I don't care what they're saying. I'm running. I've got my eyes focused on the finish line, on the crown, on the gold medal. That person stumbled, let them stumble. I'm going to keep going. I got to make it. That's the mindset of a winner. The mindset of a winner. Run with patience. Let's see. Let's keep going. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So there's weights. And one of the things that it may not be the most modest, and so you can't watch too much because people just dress any kind of way, right? But there's a reason for that. All right? The reason for that is if I had a big sweatsuit on and big nice tennis shoes the brother got over here, and I wore those tennis shoes, and I'm running a race, right? And those tennis shoes against Usain Bolt and all the other fast guys, right? Chances are them shoes are going to get in my way. So you know what they have? They have light shoes. They have lightweight clothing. They have lightweight everything. They lay aside all the weights, all the sin that so easily besets us. And here's they run with patience. The sin that so easily besets us, we have in our head the way that we, as I mentioned earlier, the way that we see things, the way that we think things are. And these are things that surely I'm right. My opinion is much higher than everybody else's opinion. And I know I'm right. And I know they're wrong. That's a sin that so easily besets us. Every man's ways are right, the scripture says in his own eyes. It said, let us lay aside every weight, all the things that weigh us down, all of the thought processes that weigh us down, all the things. Sometimes we have to ask the Lord, Lord, empty out my mind. Have you ever had to do that? I've had to do that. I've had to ask the Lord, Lord, empty out my mind. Sometimes, have you ever had in your mind that you're going through something? I can't do this. Have you ever felt that way? Oh, I can't do it. I just can't do it anymore. Can you? You can't. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He gives us the strength to do it. So it doesn't matter what sin besets you. It doesn't matter what comes your way. If you ask the Lord, he's your coach, shall we say, on this race that we're running. He's the coach. And he's gonna. And you need to talk to your coach. These folks just don't go out there and say, "Listen, I think I can win. I think I can win a race without a coach." You know what a coach is doing? A coach is watching your good points. Those are wonderful, right? And then he's watching not only your good points but your strong points. He's watching your weak points, the things that you got to be careful about. Whatever sport it is, whether it's boxing or something else, what they're going, basketball, whatever it is, and. Whatever it is that coach is watching, he says, here are the problems that we have. Here are your weaknesses. Here are the issues that you have. And so what we have to understand, spiritually speaking, is that we are going to have issues. We are going to have weaknesses. We're going to have things that we're going to need God to help us through and help us get through because we're weak there. Is anybody here strong on every point? We talked about temptations last Sunday, didn't we? And we can be overconfident in our ability, but the Lord is saying, listen, I want you to understand that I see your weaknesses. And I'm going to take you through by the help of the grace of God if you'll let me. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us do what? Run with patience the race that is set before us. Does anybody know when we're going to die?
know when the Lord's going to come? No, it may be 20 years from now for any and all of us. It may be 50 years from for other people. I mean, I won't be here 50 years from now. I'm certain of that. And a good majority of us won't be here 50 years from now. But some will. If the Lord delays his coming, some of these little ones will be in their early 50s, mid-50s, 60s, my age. Right? And so now, what do we say to them? You know what? Just start running really, really fast. And just say, no, don't start running fast. What happens with a person that is running with patience? A person that's running with patience is pacing themselves. They know, yes, I'm going to have the energy to go the long haul. It may be 50 years before the Lord comes and gets me. It may be 20 years. It may be 50 months. Whatever it is, I know that I can't take off running and just run straight through because I'm going to have some problems and I'm going to face some problems, but I'm going to run with patience. You've heard the story of the tortoise and the hare, right? The tortoise and the hare. Well, the little turtle, for those who don't know the story. And the rabbit, the turtle and the rabbit. They're going to make a race. Who would win with a turtle and a rabbit? If you're going to run from one point to another, who's going to win? It just makes sense that the rabbit wins, right? But let me tell you what happened. The rabbit runs really fast for a while. He said, the moral of the story, he lays down and he goes to sleep. And what did the little turtle do? He just walking, one foot in front of the other, just walking. And he just keeps going steady as you go. And then before you know it, he crosses the finish line before the rabbit even wakes up. Run with patience. You'll get there. Don't let anybody stop you. You don't stop. You don't rest. The Lord will give you the rest that you need. And there are going to be some time that we do need rest. We need the Lord to help us. All right? Y'all with me? What are we doing? We're looking unto Jesus. What is Jesus? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So it's going to take faith for us to get to heaven, isn't it? Heaven is a place none of us have ever been to. It's a place that the scripture tells us it's there. We believe it's there, right? And so how do we get there? He said, looking unto Jesus, running with patience, and I'm looking to Jesus. I'm keeping my eyes focused on Jesus. I'm not putting them on her or him or these people that are making my life miserable. If I take my eyes off of Jesus and I put them on this person or that person or that person or the other person, we're going to have some problems. I'm going to have some problems, aren't I? They may be legitimate. Well, he didn't do such and such, and he just keeps doing such and such. Go tell it to the Lord. Lord, you see what they're doing to me? You see how they're treating me, Lord? And let the Lord take care of them. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author. He's the one that started it, and he's the one that's going to finish it. He doesn't start something he can't finish. You believe that? All right. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, I believe I can make it. The mindset of a winner is, I believe I can make it to heaven, no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the hurdles that I'm going to have to overcome. And the mindset of a winner is that they know that person, that we talked about Serena Williams, that person on the other side of the net is a formidable foe. They can beat her at any given day. But she has to raise up her game and realize that I can overcome this. And what happens with her, she digs down deep and she gets angry at herself, right? Yeah. Have you ever gotten angry at yourself? Let me tell you what happens when you get angry at yourself. You either you do one of two things. You just, oh, I can't do it. Or you say, look, you this ain't the hill you dying on. You can't stop right here. This ain't the finish line. And then you dig down deep and you find that whatever it is, you ask the Lord to give you whatever that is, and it comes up, it surges up, and it gives you power and it gives you strength to overcome. We talked about Samson, right? Lord gave him power even after his failure. The Lord gave him power. He asked the Lord, Lord, give me power and strength to bring down the Philistines, right? And what did he do? He put his hand on the places that held up the post that held up the building, and he pushed, and the whole building fell down, right? God can give us that kind of strength. Lord, give me the strength, a surge of strength that I need right now. All right, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. There are going to be things. There are going to be crosses. What is a cross? Something that goes against our grain. Something that happens that we don't like. And all of us have crosses. We all have things in our lives that the Lord has to work through. And we have to get up on the cross and we have to die to those things. We have to die to those things. There are things in my life that I wouldn't be where I am now if I hadn't died to it. There are things that I don't like, that I don't like. And the Lord says, you're going to have to do that anyway. You're going to have to overcome those things. That's an obstacle that I intend for you to overcome. And when you overcome it, I'll give you the grace to overcome it. I'll give you grace to do it. I could be mad at a whole bunch of people, but that not don't get me to heaven. It's going to be an obstacle that slows me down. It's going to be a weight that I have animosity and hatred and you can't live saved like that. But the point that I'm making is you got unforgiveness in your heart. That's a weight. Oh, well, but Brother Darrell, you don't understand what they did to me. I don't care what they did to you. They spit in my face. They spit in Jesus' face. They nailed me to the cross. They nailed him to the cross. They purposely came against everything that I said and I did. All that is a hurdle on the way to heaven. It's on the way to heaven. As long as you're on the right road. Yes, I have to forgive. The Lord said, if you don't forgive people their trespasses, I'm not going to forgive you yours. So I got to forgive. I don't have a choice. If I want to go to heaven, and if you want to win that gold medal and that hurdle is in front of you, you're going to have to jump over it. You can't run around it. You're going to have to jump over it, and you're going to have to jump over it as quickly as you can. You can't, and then jump. You can't do that. You're jumping with the stride, and as soon as you get up to it, you're jumping over it. That's how our spiritual life should be. Lord, give me what I need to be able to overcome every hurdle, every situation, everything that sets me back, every person that makes me angry, every person that I have this tendency not to forgive. Give me what I need to be able to forgive them. Y'all still with me? All right. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him and endured the cross, despising the shame. There are going to be some things. Sometimes there are going to be some things. Just despise the shame. I don't care what they think about me. Let them think it. Despise the shame. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hurdles. That's really what he's talking about. Contradictions. Hurdles, just going complete. The Jesus said one thing, they said something else about him. They called him a wine bibber and a friend of the publicans and sinners and all these kind of things. He didn't try. Do you know that Jesus didn't try to defend himself? You don't find, I don't know of anywhere in the scripture, and if you do, let me know, where Jesus just had to feel like he had to defend himself. He sent him before Pontius Pilate, and he's asking him, are you the Christ? And he said, thou sayest. I'm not going to defend myself. He said, do you know I have the power to do to let you go, or have the power to put you on the cross? He said, you don't have any kind of power over me unless it was given to you from above. He wasn't concerned about that. He didn't say, well, you know what? I am the Son of God. And if you just don't know, he realized that the cross was a hurdle he had to get through. He realized that he had to get through it. He had to die on it. He realized that the reason there was one scripture that talks about, to this end was I born. I was born to die. I was born to die on a cross. And so he was willing to do it. That was a hurdle. And do you know what? We have a hurdle. All of us have a hurdle. One of the last hurdle that we'll ever get over is death. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that one day I'm going to die? I was thinking about this earlier this week, this past week. I was saying, you know what? One of these days is going to be my last day. And that's going to be a hurdle that I'm going to have to get over and I'm going to have to get through. And yes, there is some trepidation there. Let me just say that. Not in that, you know, I'm looking forward to dying. You know, I'm not afraid of dying, but I want God to give me what I need to have in order to get through it. It's a hurdle. And it's there, it's deliberate, and every one of us is going to have to cross it. And so we don't know when that's going to be, so what do we have to do? Today, when this person goes against me, and I have this unforgiveness in my heart, what do I have to do? I have to lay aside that weight, and the sin that's so easy, it's easy for us to hate, it's easy for us to Beyond what? Hold grudges. That's easy. That's easy for some people. It's just easy for them to hold. You know, it's not very easy for me. I can't hold them. Let me get it straight. I can hold them, but I've learned something. I learned that if I hold a grudge, which it takes effort for me to do, but if I, you know, sometimes you just want to be mad. Have you ever, for real? Have y'all ever done that? Oh, no, we've never done that. Yes, y'all have. I just, you know, it's like they need to know I'm upset. It's like they need to know that what they did not, they shouldn't have done it. I'm almost finished here. And so you kind of want them to know that you're, yeah, I'm a little upset at you. I'm a little quiet. Are you quiet? No. Why are you ain't saying that? Are you angry? No. What's wrong? Nothing. But you really want them to know you're upset. We've all been through that kind of thing. What if Jesus did that? You know what? You spit in my face. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. What if he did that? So I don't have, if he didn't do it, I don't have a right to do it either. You don't have a right to do it. But Brother Daryl, you don't know what they did. I don't care what they did to you. God has the power and the grace. And what we're talking about is a weight that is going to beset you and is going to keep you from winning, from having the champion mindset, the winner mindset. Because what you're going to do, instead of you thinking about the goal and keeping your eyes on Jesus and keeping your eyes on the crown and keeping your eyes on the gold medal, what you're going to think about is, no, somebody needs to do something to him. He did that to me. Somebody needs to do something. And so if nobody else is going to do it and they don't seem like they're concerned about it, I'm going to do it myself. So I'm going to go over there and I'm going to confront them. And when I confront them, I'm going to give them peace of my mind. All of that kind of stuff. Look, we don't need that. The Lord don't need you to do that. You need to keep your eyes on the goal. You need to keep your eyes on the gold medal, the gold, G-O-A-L and G-O-L-D. You need to keep your eyes there. There's a gold crown that I'm going to win one day. I'm going to have to die one day, and it might be today. I hope not. I don't think it is, but I don't know that. I don't know that. So what am I going to have to do today? Today I'm going to, whatever hurdles that come up, a hurdle of unforgiveness. Oh, Lord, help me to forgive that person. Hurdle of anger. I want to be angry. Help me to forgive. Help me to go through this, Lord. And the Lord will help us to go through it. All right, so it says here, for consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. For ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And have forgotten exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son of whom he received. You know what that means? Let's put it into, really, if you don't whip, we whipped our children. Now, I know nowadays they have this newfangled thing, but I don't think it works, okay? I really don't think it works. You just, I'm 1, 2, 3. By the time you got to 3, they knew. We never counted to 3. We may have done it once, maybe once. But they didn't take the chance anymore, right? So here, you know what this scripture down there is saying? Ye have not resisted the blood striving against sin, for ye have not forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Do you know what some of these obstacles are? Some of the hurdles are the Lord chastening us. You know what that means? That means that just like a child, I think all of us got any. I asked this question one time, and I literally had two people to raise up their hand and say they have never gotten a whipping. I was shocked. All right. I said, I want to talk to you after church. You've never got a whipping? No, you've never gotten a whipping. They were sisters. And so it was the way that their parents raised them. Hey, they seemed like they turned out to be some really good girls. And I thought, but it didn't happen like that in our family. I was not the kind of boy that didn't get whippings. But it says, whom he loveth, he chasteneth. Yes. So the reason we whip our children, the children, listen to this, really. The reason we whip them is because we love you. We want you to be an asset to society. We want you to self-govern. We want you to be in a position that after I whip you, the next time you come to this situation, you think twice before you do it. And so the reason I don't have to whip you the second time is because you're governing yourself, yeah. Right? And that's the whole purpose that God wants when he takes us through these obstacles and these trials and these issues. It is not that he gets pleasure in it. It's that he loves you. And he said, I want you to discipline yourself. I don't want to have to discipline you. And so the Lord wants all of us to discipline ourselves so that he doesn't have to. All right? And that's what we want. At some point, our children got to the point that when we tapped them on the hand, we were teaching them. We were teaching them not to touch the hot stove, right? The reason we were doing it is because next time you see that and it's got that orange little ring around it, the next time you see that, you won't touch it, right? Right, you're governing yourself. So that's what self-discipline is all about. I want us to understand that. I want to thank the Lord. I didn't get as far in this lesson as I wanted to get, but I want us to understand that we can have the mindset of a winner. And going into the race, what we have to understand is, listen, there are hurdles. This is happens to be the race where there's hurdles. And if I have that in my mind, that I'm going to have to overcome obstacles, this is steeplechase, whatever it is, whatever kind of race it is, but it's a race where there's obstacles, there's a race that there's hurdles, there's a race that there's temptations, there's all kind of issues along the way. If I have that put in my mind before I even start the race, it's going to make it easier. Lord, help us. Pray for me.